one way, an entrance in. But the sukkah was also made to help them understand that no matter what the problem is that they may be experiencing, that God had a bigger vision for them. That they were sons and daughters of Abraham. The ceiling was not blocking their view, because now with the structure that they've put together with leaves and sticks and whatever else, they could see through it and they could see the stars. And that was to remind them, you're son of Abraham. They're laying down on the dirt. That's to remind them, God said he will bless. Hallelujah. And when it rained, the rain was not blocked from them, because God was trying to say to them, listen, I'm always going to rain on your life. Nothing is going to stop the water of my word reaching you. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has an agenda in everything that he's doing. And it's all about the blessing. Someone say the blessing. Hallelujah. But this weak structure that could be blown down at any time, God was saying, if your little structure that you have built and put together gets blown over, it just makes your world bigger. Oh my Lord, somebody help me here. There is no way that you lose at the Feast of Tabernacle. One of the things we said was at the very beginning was, you know we celebrate December the 25th as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, it's the birthday of a pagan god. The church just, you know, swipe that in and say, well, since they are celebrating already, let's celebrate the S-O-N God instead of the S-U-N God. But that's not his birthday. If the truth be known, his birthday was on the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacle. Because that's the day that he came to tabernacle with us. That's the day he became Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And at the end of the 8th day, he is dedicated in the temple and is circumcised. And the real beginning of the purpose for why he came. Are you with me? Jesus. He is circumcised. And God brought two very key important people to minister. A prophet called Simeon and a prophetess called Anna. God was restating, listen, man and woman coming together, speaking the prophetic word. That is the day that he got circumcised, and that will be the 8th day, which is the day of new beginnings, that God calls the day for you. The first 7 days, he said, is for him, but the 8th day is for you. It's your Sabbath. Jesus came to start a new Sabbath for you and I, so we can rest. So he was circumcised. So that's the first time he shed his blood, even before the cross. But what was the circumcision about? The circumcision was a sign of covenant that God had with Abraham. So Jesus, being circumcised on that 8th day, was bringing us into the covenant of God, the covenant that he made with faithful Abraham. Is somebody listening? In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. God has an agenda, and the agenda is all about you and about me, all in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. When God comes to tabernacle with us, He also says to us, says, you don't need to be afraid about anything. I am with you. And today the word that I bring to you is this: God is with you. God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Sickness and disease do not have the last word. The God that we serve, He has the first and the last word. He has the only word. He's the only one allowed to speak into your life. And when God speaks into your life, faith is born inside of you, and you are empowered to live life to the fullest. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Lord will not let me not go any further until I say this. In 2020, I was in this house ministering the word of God to you. And all of a sudden, I started talking about a city. How many of you remember the city I was talking about? New York. How many of you remember that? I fought back tears for New York. I said, trouble is coming to New York because of the leadership. Trouble was coming. It was the very beginnings of COVID. God was very, very, very specific and very clear that if they don't repent, trouble was going to hit that city. And people are going to start fleeing that city. Things were going to go really bad for the city in every possible matrix that you can put together. And from that time till now, that city has been going through one horrible crisis after the other. And the Lord has been quickening in my spirit and saying, they are not changing, that they are going to be hit harder than they can imagine. I don't know what's coming, but it's not good. It's not good. I've been holding back from saying those words because I don't want anybody to accuse me. What did you know? How did you know that this was going to happen? So I said, Lord, please keep me out of this. Can you please? But it's not letting me go. It is going through and it's about to hit the wildest experience. In fact, I heard the new mayor crying out that their city is about to go bankrupt. But that's what the Lord wanted. He warned about all of this. When God speaks and says, this is about to happen, it is not because he wants it to happen. There's always room for change. Amen? I'm not in New York. I'm here in Winnipeg. Well, why God will want me to say stuff about New York, I don't know. But anyway, there it is. Pray for New York. Because it's not good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Lord. I did okay? All right, I can continue. Well, it is all related to what I'm talking about. Because God has been speaking to us about this feast. And he's also told us that there are issues that are coming. There are problems that are coming. Challenges that are coming. But he wants you and I to know that whatever it is that is happening, it's not meant for you. The plagues came into Egypt, but there was a Goshen carved out. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a carved out place for you. And the place of your safety is the place of the Word of God. Yes. Amen? Yes. If I can say anything this morning, I want you to know that the Word of God is your best weapon. You need to know the Word of God because the Word of God points to God. As you know His Word, you get to know Him. And the people that know God are the ones that are mighty, that are strong, that do exploits. You're stepping into 7 years from now till 2030, and God is asking for us to redeem 2030 and not surrender 2030 to the devil. And that's exactly what I intend to do. Amen? You and I need to embrace the Word of God. What did I say? Eat that word. Study it. Meditate on it. It is going to be what strengthens you and brings you out on the other side of whatever problems are coming to the face of the world, because it is getting corrupted, and it's getting corrupted real fast. Somebody listening? If you have a tomato and it's on the shelf and it begins to get rotten, you might have a little mark on that tomato. After a while, the whole thing speedifies. it starts and then zoom. Well, that's where we are. Things are about to get so corrupted so quickly. And the only thing that is not corruptible, you are born again by the incorruptible Word of God. You need to have the Word of God in your life so that you are not corrupted by the forces of darkness that are coming against the world. Is somebody listening? You need to know the Word of God for yourself. Embrace the Word of God because it is incorruptible. It will keep you in the midst of all the nonsense that's happening in the world. Now understand why the Lord said, I want you to talk about New York. Because New York is a microcosm of what's about to happen in the world. That's why. Yeah, all nations live there too. So, child of God, what do you need to get fully grafted into your life? The Word of God. It will change your spiritual DNA. Hallelujah. The Word of God will deliver you from destructions. The Word of God sent will heal you. He sent His Word and He healed and delivered them from their destructions. You need the Word of God in your life. And guess what the devil wants to do? Because this is what is going to fortify you like never before. There is going to be an attack on that Word. Because the devil knows if you've got the Word, he cannot defeat you. So he's going to go after the Word. And he's going to call, I told you this like, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, that it's going to be called a hate book. Those Christians, they are haters. And what is causing them to be haters is because they have that Bible. Let's get rid of that Bible. And they've been trying to adulterate that Bible for the longest time. But now, they're going to come for it. Oh, free speech. What free speech? Are you kidding me? You're going to find out that what you thought was free speech is no longer free speech, because the Lord showed me how you are going to be monitored. Everything about you, monitored. Your phone. This is not me talking nonsense, promoting some theory. No, I'm talking about realities right now. Amen? But God is calling you and I to tabernacle with Him. Because when we tabernacle with Him, there is no agenda of the enemy that will in any way, shape, or form take root. No weapon fashioned against you has the right to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you to accuse you, you've got the power to condemn. Hallelujah. This is your right. This is your heritage. Are you hearing? Yes. No weapon. Some say no weapon. No weapon. Verse 16 makes a statement. God says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I've created the waster to destroy. God says, I have created even the waster to destroy. He says, but what? You know what? I've not created any weapon. And nobody can create any weapon because I did not empower it. Therefore, no weapon that is formed. I created language. I created science. I created philosophy, psychology, every knowledge that is, I created it all. But I've not created anything. And nobody can create anything, because I am the beginning and the end of it. Nothing that is created is allowed to hurt you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord warned us about what was coming, and then COVID came. And then he said, this is not it. Do you remember me talking to you about that? This is not it. He said to us way back that one of the main attacks that was coming was going to have to do with climate change. Do you remember me talking about that? Okay. We talk about these things way ahead before the news carries it. Hello? Why is that? And one of the things I told you way back then was that there was going to be a virus of the sort that was going to come, that was going to cause houses to be burnt. Do you remember I'm talking about this? All of that is coming. Huh? It's already started. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is forewarning us, but in the forewarning of all of this, God is saying, it is not for you. Amen? Don't get all wound up about what's happening in the world, because it's not for you. What was happening in Egypt was not happening in Goshen. Come into the tabernacle of God for you. Amen? He is a God who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read very quickly from verse 1 through about verse 13. He says, moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Let me stop there for a moment. The Bible says, without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if God is not pleased with many of them, it was because they were not continuing with the word of God, which generates faith in you and in me. We're all seated here right this very moment, just like they were all. For 2 years, God prepared them in that wilderness to get into that promised land. They got there, they sent spies into the promised land. The spies came back and told them, this is amazing, the place is wonderful. Two of them continued with the word of God and said, let's go take it. But 10 said, we are not able to take it, because that land there, as good as it is a land that consumes its inhabitants. It eats its people up. And then they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so did they. They saw us as grasshoppers based on what we saw ourselves. We cannot go. They did not continue in the word of God, the promise of God, and for another 38 years, 2 plus 38 becoming 40, they were stuck in the wilderness. Is it not interesting that the Bible tells us in John 5 that there was a man who was in a state of paralysis for 38 years, and Jesus came to him and said, do you want to get well? And what did he say? I don't have any man to help me. Listen, whatever God wants to do now is not the work of a man. And if you're going to be looking unto a man, you are going to be in the same mess. You got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And Jesus is the very representation of what the word of God is. Amen? So, they were overthrown because God was not pleased with them. They were overthrown in the wilderness. It says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after what? Evil things, as they also lusted. What's the point? The point is this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. And that as long as you are worldly minded, looking and pursuing after the mighty dollar or the mighty loony, you become lunatic. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's what's happening. They were lusting after the things of the world. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Don't worry about whatever it is that's happening. I am taking care of you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going somewhere with this. Praise the Lord. It says, neither be ye idolaters, idol worshippers. Now, idol worshippers doesn't necessarily only mean that you have a Buddha in your house or some carved image in your house. Idolatry is whatever it is that you hold more perfectly in the primary position in your life. And your idol can be anything. It can be money. It can be family. It can be hobbies. It can be jewelry. It can be whatever. Whatever it is that can take you away from God, that you will subject God to the side and say, I'm going to go with this. That's your idol. That means your computer can become your idol. Somebody listening. If that takes preeminence, it is your idol. The word of God says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, that statement, rose up to play, means that they started practicing all forms of immorality right there. Because idolatry will bring you to a place where you lose sense of true morality. What's happening in our world? Same thing. And then it goes on and says, neither let us commit fornication. What is rampant in our world today? Fornication, pornography. Is somebody listening? Every which way. Nobody is exempted. The attack of pornography is everywhere you look. Kids, 6, 7, 8 years old are even stuck in pornography. Because the world is pumping it, the corruption is pumping it. There are people in church, not just men, women too, that are stuck in pornia. He says, as some of them committed and fell in one day free and